Our Old Testament lesson is chosen from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 25 to 31. You may follow this along by looking at the screen and also turning your Bible to page 512 of the Church Bible with NIV, with the blue covers on page 512 of the Church Bible. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each one of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth, the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today is a little special Sunday, somewhat unusual, that we have many good things going on, as Richard spoke and shared about, and the good deeds of Joanne and Sarah coming back from Haiti and delivering shoes to the orphanages, and a wonderful trip, and Corby sharing children's sermon and children time, and also sharing about his calling. And then we begin with a verse of Isaiah 40. God is saying, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Right away, we're confronted with the goodness and the greatness of our Lord. How great is our God? And that's the question for us this morning. He is the Holy One. So how do we know that God is great and our God is mighty? In verse 26, it says that, well, become an astronaut. Well, that's not what it says, actually. But it says what? Lift up your eyes and look to where? Does it say your problems? Does it say your difficulties? But look up the heavens. No, it doesn't say become an astronaut. But God said, who? Whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Look at the heavens. Use your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each one of them by name. Not the scientists, not the astronauts. God, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Can we say amen to that? Amen. A great God. So let me ask you to participate in this time together. What is the vast galaxy that we are living in? What galaxy we are part of? The name. Do you know? What? I can't hear you. We are part of what? Who said Milky Way? Corby, can you just hand this out to the person who said Milky Way first? Thank you. Sorry about that. The Milky Way, right? It's not the chocolate, as gimmicking as it might be. But we are part of that galaxy. Now, how many galaxies are there in the universe? Okay, say it out loud. Over 100 billions. And somebody said infinite, countless. Some scientists claim this, that count the stars. and then go to all the beaches in the world and look at the grain of the sands, and that's as many as the galaxies out there. God, who created all this, the starry host one by one, and calls forth each one of them by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Isn't it a comfort or what? Yes? God's comfort for his people. The hope, the strength, the joy that God is bringing to all of us, to his people, to his church, the people he loved, is real. And nothing can compare to that promise. The very fact, as you're sitting now, you don't feel it. But the planet Earth, the vast galaxy that we're living in, is spinning at the rate of, well, help me out again, some science teachers here. What rate? Over 490,000 miles per hour. It's spinning at that rate. Can you believe that? And how many years would it take to make one rotation with that rate of spinning? Over 200 million years. Now, why do I mention that? Am I that smart and say, oh, our pastor he's just so scientific. I'm not sure that's a term or not, but I say this because our God is not only a God of power and might, a God who can create all this, but there is order. There's order in created things, and there is sufficiency and efficiency. Our God knows everything. What is going on this planet Earth, in the universe? And God surely knows what is going on with us. Can we say amen to that? God knows what you're going through. God knows where you are. God sees you. And that's why verse 27 goes down to say, why do you complain? Why do you whine, Jacob? Why do you say, no, God doesn't answer my prayers. God doesn't love me. God doesn't see my tears. Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? Why do you say, my cause is disregarded by my God? God created the heavens and the earth. God has the power over everything, that he sees it all, he knows it all. Why do you complain that God doesn't care about you, that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't answer your prayer? We can't hide from God. And God surely knows everything that is going on in our lives. Remember the people that try to act and live like God didn't know, or God didn't see them, and that God didn't care. Remember Adam and Eve? Remember what happened in the garden? God knew. God knew that they would fall. God knew that they were trying to hide. And yet God clothed them because of what? Because of his love and his compassion. He clothed Adam and Eve. That's love, people. That is love. Why did God create the earth? Now, many scientists, many people will have their own opinions on why God created the earth. But the Bible tells us that God created the earth. God created the universe. God created you and me and the animals and the plants and the trees. Why? Out of his love. Out of his care. God didn't have to create things. God didn't say to the angels, hey, folks. I think God talks like that, but I could be wrong. All right? Let's do some experiments here. Maybe he has some New England accents. It would be so wicked cool. And you angels, go out there. And just something looks like fun. No, God didn't do that. Scripture tells us that God created all things. Everything. Out of his love. And in that creation order, in that created order, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God is involved in that creation. God said, let there be. He spoke. He created everything through the Son. For he loves. God loves. And he gives breath. God's breath. The Holy Spirit. And make everything comes into being. Now, the Bible didn't tell us how God did it. That's for the scientists. That's for the world to figure out. But the Bible tells us this. Why God did it and for what? Verse 28, it said, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Now, it's interesting that a while ago, in a few verses earlier, that we learn about the greatness, the power, and the strength of God the Creator. The one who did it all. That no one created God. God is, always is. He is from everlasting to everlasting. That now we're told that this God, this mighty God, all of a sudden we learn that not only he created, but he cares for you and I. He cares for us. He is the everlasting God. That a God who will not grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. This God actually cares for you and I. He is the everlasting God. God does not grow weary. Grow tired or weary, even though he did take a break one day. Remember that at the creation story, in the beginning, God created all things, but he took how many days off? One day off. The Sabbath. But here we're told that he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. The infinite God. We can possibly figure all out who God is and what God does and why God. With our finite minds, finite understanding, God is bigger than anything. And the kids' language is this. God is bigger than the boogeyman. Yes, I just said it, right? He's so big, so huge, but he gives strength to the weary. He cares about you and increases the power of the weak. So why do you want to trade the temporal things? The moment that you're going through and saying, oh, God doesn't care about me. Oh, God doesn't see my problem. Comparing to what you're going through, think about eternity, everlasting. The beauty of God. To gaze upon God and look and say, God, you're mighty. You're awesome, you're powerful, and you care about me. Yes, he does. And why do you want to trade that from a little struggles, a little troubles that we have and say, oh, there's no God. Oh, there is a God, but he doesn't care. Don't trade. Don't trade eternity for a little candy you can get. Well, why do I say that? Because I was told by Googling up and looking up again online that New Hampshire is the most beautiful place. If you don't believe me, come around here at 10:30 or 11 at night and stare at the sky. Oh, the stars. You agree with that? And the clear nights. But I've been told that New Hampshire is over 900 something lakes and ponds. Am I right on that, some people here? Over 900 beautiful lakes. I think that New Hampshire is the most beautiful state in the whole entire world. You're forgiven if you live in Massachusetts or Vermont. And I found that out. So I thought, well, I'm going to take my family to a tour yesterday. So I drove around the lakes region. Oh, we've been to a few lakes. The traffic was mad. And so we didn't really go through every 900 lakes. But we made it to two. And my little one loved it. And she loved the beautiful waters and the sky and the birds and the ducks and the geese. She didn't like so much about stepping on some of the stuff, but she loved the view. And we spent a few hours on those lakes. And by the time we really had to come home, I said to my daughter, honey, it's time to go. I give you 3 minutes. Do you all know what that 3 minutes, parents, that with young kids? That 3 minutes? I think I started like 5 minutes. I go down. And she said, no. And I went down to 2 minutes. And we struggled back and forth. And finally I said, we got to go. And she said, no. And it's all because she loved the lakes, the water. My little daughter. And you know, we love ocean, beaches, and lakes, beautiful sceneries, and out there, and enjoying the beautiful creation of God. Then I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say to my daughter. And I said, honey, I got candies. How many of you like candies? Okay. Corby, can you give one to when Jonathan's... Jonathan Ackerman's son. Thank you so much. He liked candy. Thank you. And you know what she said? She said, let's go. She didn't care about the beauty. Is that true? She didn't care about the water. She didn't care about those boats, beautiful boats, lakes, mountains. She didn't care any of that. She would trade. She would trade. My little smart daughter would trade the whole earth for little candy. The point is this, friends, the life we live, 70, 80s, 90, 100s, comparing to everlasting eternity. You know what that's like? This much. This much. You know what everlasting to everlasting eternity is like? This much, and on and on and on and on. That's what Isaiah is saying to the people of God. Don't trade the moment, whatever you're going through. And why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard about this God who cares for you? Right from the very beginning. Right from the very beginning. The joy, the hope. We can't run away from God. He's there. He's here. He's everywhere. His presence is available now. But think about that for everlasting, to eternity. What the hope. What the joy. What the glory. And that's why, no doubt, Paul says in Romans chapter 15, 13, he blessed the congregation, the people, with this verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, if you're going through difficulties, challenges, and you're face downcast and say, God doesn't care about me, God doesn't know what I'm going through, well, have hope. Rejoice. The prophet Isaiah said, not only God promises all the good things to come for eternity, everlasting, he sent his very best, not to give us new clothing, but to cover us from our multitudes of sins, to wash away all our sins, to make us all right in God. The beautiful Lord, the beautiful one of God, the darlings of heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ came down to earth. He suffered for us. He paid the penalty for our sins. He was wounded, tortured, abandoned, rejected for our sakes, so that you and I can be beautiful before the Lord. That you and I can have hope, not just on earth, but hope to eternity, forever and ever. David did ask that question. Where can I run from God? Where can I flee from God's presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, you are there. David, in the moment of his most troubling days, one of his most troubling days, I should say, in the life of David, he remembers the presence of the Spirit of God, where God is. The beauty of God, to gaze upon the beauty of God, to dwell in his house day and night, to look up the skies at night, or the beautiful lakes or beaches, lives, the works of God can help us know the greatness of God, the majesty of God. But not only that, it reminds all of us of the hope we have in God, that whatever we see, whatever we're going through, whatever we are facing is only temporal. But with God, the hope, the strength, the joy in him are everlasting to everlasting. Don't trade that for a little candy. He will give you strength. He will give you power when you're down, even when you're lost. Corby, thanks for sharing that story about Adoniram Judson. Did God forgive him? Or did God forget him? No, he didn't. Did God forgive him? Yes. Even when you say, I don't believe in God, know that he still loves you. He is pursuing you, that he will give you strength. Have hope. Verse 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The answer, the result of having hope and trust in the Lord is having God's strength, God's power, soaring on wings like eagles. They will run and not go weary, and they will walk and not be faint. We will have supernatural power, and that is coming from the very source of God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. Can we say amen to that? Oh, I don't know if you know what it means to be weary and tired. Oh, I know a thing or two about that. And I told you I joined, crazy enough to join, or I lost my mind, I should say, to join the college soccer team, and the coach said, let's go to Colorado Springs. And I said, that sounds fun. But I didn't know about the running or hiking up from the base of Pikes Peak to all the way to the top. He didn't tell me about that. But as I walk up from the base to the top, and I told you before, I was praying for things like air and food and sweaters, and I was weary and tired. And there, in the moment, I realized that right behind me was a force of strength in a form of a 70-year-old man. This is right in the middle of the top of the mountain. No sweaters, no pants. He's with his running shirt and shorts and shoes running up to the mountain. I turn around and look at him, true story, along with the rest of the soccer team. Dude, we didn't say dude, but friend, what are you doing? And he said, I'm running a marathon. This is a 70-year-old man from the base to the top of Pikes Peak Mountain. Young men will grow weary and they will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength no matter what stages you are in life. Trust in Him. You will receive God's strength, God's power, most of all, the hope, the glorious hope. Paul said, the mystery that is in Christ Jesus, that is in us, that will carry us through, not just on this earth, to eternity. The God who created everything, friends, loves you and cares about you and cares about the whole universe. But most importantly, He knows. He knows and understands what you are going through, what we're going through. So why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Whenever you feel like that, whenever you think about complaining or whining about all things that is going wrong in your life, that takes away your joy, your hope, and the strength in the Lord. Think of verse 31. Verse 31. Could you put that one more time so we can all read together? The last line of verse Isaiah 40. But those who hope in the Lord, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We have running moments. And then the walking in our lives, in our journey, that we will not be faint. Remember this verse. Put your hope in the Lord, not in the things that you and I can see, not in chocolates, not in worldly things, but in the Lord, for His strength, for His power, for His love. Thanks be to God. Amen.